This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The House votes on income tax cuts today, but America could soon have the highest corporate tax rate in the world.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, as Congress focuses on income taxes for individuals, what about corporate taxes? Are they hurting job growth? But first, where's Wall Street? Markets are up right now, just barely. The Dow up about 5 points at 11,462. The NASDAQ up about 0.2%. And the S&P 500 up also about 0.2%. FedEx reported a quarterly profit this morning that missed Wall Street expectations, but the company raised its outlook for the year. It's encouraged by the amount of packages being shipped for the holidays. Now to the tax cuts. The big compromise package that passed the Senate yesterday is expected to get a vote in the House today. Meanwhile, in Japan, the government is getting closer to cutting the corporate tax rate to spur economic growth. And if the Japanese cut their 40% rate, the U.S. will have the highest corporate tax rate in the industrialized world, 39%. Let's bring in Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesro Financial. She's with us live now from Chicago. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So is having the highest corporate tax rate in the world something we should be worried about?
Well, it is and it isn't, in a sense that many corporations don't pay any taxes at all. In fact, there's so many loopholes in our corporate tax code that the actual rate is not really reflective of what corporations are paying. Many corporations are actually paying in their taxes. And even the new tax cuts today that are going to be voted on, the extension of the Bush-era tax cuts, include expansions of corporate deductions for investment in things like capital equipment, new technologies, R&D, which will lower their tax burden in 2011.
So that 39% tax rate doesn't tell the whole story. But yesterday, President Obama met with those CEOs. He asked them to do some hiring. If we do indeed end up having the highest corporate tax rate in the world, at least on paper, does that cause a problem in terms of companies being able to create jobs?
It does, in the sense that much of our corporate profits are being hoarded and paid abroad. They're being moved abroad instead of being paid here in the United States. Not only is that a loss in revenues for the U.S. government, which could use the revenues, if tax rates were lower, corporations wouldn't spend so much time trying to move their businesses to other places and book their profits in other countries. And so anything to bring that money back and spur demand in the U.S. would be a plus for job growth here. So there is definitely an argument for simplifying the tax code and lowering the tax rate. That means eliminating some of those loopholes for corporations who don't pay taxes, but also lowering the tax rate to be more competitive internationally.
All right, Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesro Financial. Well, we got two pieces of mildly good news this morning from the government. Housing starts are up slightly, and weekless jobless claims are down slightly. Yesterday, we heard about inflation. The core consumer price index rose just 0.1% last month. That's still very low. We're going to do a little lightning round on inflation now with Marketplace's economics correspondent, Chris Farrell. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Jeremy.
Hey there. So here we go. Why do we care about inflation so much?
So remember, inflation is a change in the overall price level. And the reason why borrowers, lenders, investors, and savers care about inflation is that it means how much will my dollar be worth a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now.
And one of the key measures, Chris, of inflation is the consumer price index. We got that yesterday. What is it and how is it calculated?
So remember, in our economy, prices are always changing. In the latest consumer price number, new car prices were down, airfares were up. So the statisticians at the Bureau of Labor Statistics, they collect all kinds of prices from 87 urban areas around the country, and they make all kinds of adjustments, and they get rents in there too, and they come up with a price index.
And why do economists often look at the consumer price index minus food and energy?
I know. I mean, what else is there to life but food and energy? But what they're trying to do is get a sense of, is Procter & Gamble passing on higher costs onto consumers? They're trying to really get a gauge on what's happening to corporate America when they pass on their prices to consumers.
Okay, last lightning round question here, Chris. The inflation rate has been quite low here in the U.S., but China revealed this week that its inflation rate hit 5% last month. Should we care about that?
Absolutely. China doesn't want a high inflation rate. It's going to fight a high inflation rate, and that means less trade for the U.S.
And of course, trade is what it's all about in getting us out of this recession. Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell, thanks so much for playing.
Thanks a lot.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk. Since 1923, innovative developer of diabetes treatments and delivery devices at novonordisk-us.com. By the Henry Luce Foundation, seeking to increase American understanding of East and Southeast Asia. And by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio.
Tonight, Larry King hosts the very last episode of his primetime CNN program. And as Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports, the King will be remembered not just as a talk show host, but also as a product pitchman.
Before CNN, Larry King was a radio man.
Live from New York City, it's the Larry King Show, a presentation of the Mutual Broadcasting System.
The Larry King Show went national in 1978. Wesley Hyatt is a broadcast historian, and he says whether King was promoting pain relievers or anything else, the broadcaster made a name for himself for his convincing delivery of commercials.
They were so off the cuff that you really couldn't tell if it was taped or if he was going to go ahead and just say it as part of the show itself. And I think that's why a lot of advertisers tried to see if they could get him to pitch their products.
Larry King was part of a generation of personalities who were both host and product spokesmen. And Robert Thompson, television professor at Syracuse University, says that trend is returning.
The program and the advertising have suddenly become one. Now Conan O'Brien does it regularly. If you watch the Jimmy Kimmel show, he pitches any number of products.
And these pitches are pricey. American Express reportedly paid Conan O'Brien $1 million for one of his ads. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
I'll always remember Larry King pitching garlic, or should I say, garlic. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
So here are some ideas to improve worker productivity. How about naps at the office or sports television breaks every hour? Sounds crazy, but it works.
What for sure we've seen are the different divisions of the company working together in a way that they never had before.
I'm Kai Rizdal, breaking bad office habits from the top down, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.